Well, praise the Lord. I hope you're excited to be here today because I'm excited. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I got to, can you bring me down just a little bit, brother? I'm just a little bit hot up here. Praise God. Not hot like hot, but hot in the mic. Hallelujah. And I have a feeling I might be getting a little bit loud today. I don't know, maybe. Praise the Lord. But you know, I had in the last few weeks been real busy, couple weeks for me. And 2 weeks ago, my family and I went down to Gatlinburg to see Reverend Randy Greer in one of his ministry conferences down there. And it was a blessing for us, and we got a lot of direction. And part of that direction was that I was to fly to Tulsa on Monday, praise the Lord, and go out there. And he's been building a new ministry offices, and him and his family have primarily been doing the work themselves. And when I heard this, it had been on my heart for some time. It dropped on my wife's heart. We knew that I had to go, and so I went. And praise the Lord, you know, it's amazing that you don't just have to go to church to have things broke off you, but when you're doing the work of the Lord, things will be broken off you. Because the Lord blesses those who are a blessing to Him, amen? And so when we do the work of the Lord in building a church or building a ministry office, you know, his ministry is affecting a lot of people. And so he travels. Of course, he's a traveling minister, so it's a little bit different than the way this is. But we've had him in here. We have him in the family churches. We're quite connected to him. But, you know, as I was out there and I was working hard all week, praise the Lord, I ate like snarf, and I didn't even gain any weight, which was amazing because I was sweating it all out. It was gone. It was like 90 degrees and 10,000% humidity, I think, something like that. I mean, I woke up in a pool, praise the Lord, every morning, and it just got worse as the day went on. But praise the Lord, we made it through. We got to the other side. But you know, there's some things that, as I was out there serving the Lord, that some things were broken off of me and some things that were stirred in me. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to come back to the pulpit with a renewed sense of hunger, amen. You know, we can't say enough about that. We all have to. We all are going to go through periods of time where we're not going to, where our desire may wane a little bit, where our hunger may wane. I mean, you came in and you were excited the first time you came in, or maybe when you first got your help, you got really excited about it. And then as some time goes by, you know, humans have a tendency to just let that but we don't want to fizzle out. Amen. God didn't call us to fizzle out. He called us to stir ourselves up. Amen. And so sometimes we have to stir ourselves up in the things of God and not lose heart and not lose direction and keep on the path that He's called us to. Praise the Lord. Not that I was getting off the path. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that there's those attacks that come to us in the flesh. Amen. And so we have to fight against that. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited. That was just an introduction. Maybe the first introduction, we may have another one, I don't know. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, today I'm preaching about living for a living God, hallelujah. Living for a living God. And this concept is so important. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says that we are co-laborers with Christ. Co-laborers with Christ. It means we work with Him. You know, and so many people have lost this concept, lost this idea that God is not automatic. The things of God are not automatic. We hear a lot in church circles, you hear a lot about the sovereignty of God. But actually, the word sovereign isn't even in Scripture. Do you know that? It's not even in the Bible. The word sovereign is not even the Bible. See, what sovereignty has become, it's become this idea that people have put in their minds to justify why things happen. Because if they can justify why bad things happen by pushing it off on God, then, well, you know, then God did it. Praise the Lord. And then He had some reason for doing it. So if something bad happened, it was God's fault. He did it. But see, that's not what the Bible says. See, the Bible tells us how to get out of troubles. The Bible tells us how to go through to the other side. Jesus never said to lay down and accept sickness. He defeated sickness. He cast out sickness. He rebuked sickness. And He said, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. But some Christians accept sickness as God's divine will, His sovereign will. But there again, that word sovereign is in the Bible. Now, God is sovereign in a sense in that he is all-powerful. Praise the Lord. But there are some things that God can't do. Oh, I know. Some of you are about ready to get up and run out of here. Amen? But I encourage you to listen to what I'm saying. There are some things God can't do. One of those things that God can't do is He can't go against His own word. When God has spoken it, it has to be that way. When God's made it so, it's got to be that. When He's designed it, it's going to work that way. He ain't changing it. Amen? God's plan was never to change. In fact, Jesus didn't even technically change. See, anything. What He did was He fulfilled the law. He didn't change the law. The law didn't suddenly become null and void in the sense that the law, that God didn't even feel that way anymore. And see, so many people look at God like that. They say, well, we're gonna reject the Old Testament because the Old Testament was pre-New Testament. Well, see, no, the Bible tells us that we have to look at the Old Testament through the light of the New Testament. In other words, you want to understand it with the fullness of the gospel that has been preached to us. And we couldn't understand it fully until Jesus was here. And that's what it means, that Jesus was the fullness of the law, or the fulfillment of the law. It's that he brought it all, everything to light. What God's will was from the beginning. God never intended man to be sick. He never intended man to be poor. He never intended man to be lost, to be dying, to be hurting. In fact, when he created Adam, he created him in perfection, and he put him in a perfect place with all the provision he would ever need, and he made him perfectly healthy without the intent of ever dying. In fact, Adam never was even going to face death until what? Until he sinned. See, and the Bible tells us that sin causes death. God doesn't cause death. But you hear every time there's a funeral, every time somebody dies, well, the Lord just called them home. Just the Lord needed another angel in heaven. But all of that is so scripturally unsound. You can't find that in scripture. In fact, you see just the opposite. But that's what people believe. Why? Because people would rather believe a lie because it's easier on their conscience than to believe that they had something to do with it. Now, I'm not saying that everybody, every child that dies, that it's somebody's specific fault, but in a sense that it is, because God has provided a way for every person to live, every person to make it through. Now, I'm going to tell you this before we get too far into this. There are things that happen, and there are reasons for all things that happen. You know, I know people say that there's a reason for everything. Yes, sometimes the reason is people were stupid. Amen? Sometimes the reason is because you did something dumb. You know what I mean? I mean, God, the Bible talks about things like drinking. But if I go out drinking and driving, get in a car accident, kill somebody or kill myself, I can't blame God for that, can I? There's a reason that happened, and the reason was because I was dumb. If I lived a horrible life, if I was consuming all kinds of bad things and I ended up dying young, it isn't because God called me home. It's because I didn't take care of the body. Amen? See, we have to understand these things. There's reasons for things, and sometimes those reasons are a lot more deeply rooted than we understand. But one thing that I've become aware of since I've been a Christian is that we can find the reason without going too far back. You know, every divorce that ever happens, You go not that far back and find the problem. Right. Then, praise the Lord. If two people follow the scripture, they would never, ever, ever have to have divorce. Right. If you just do the law, if you just follow the simple law of love, if a husband and wife both follow that, there would never be divorce. Right. Now, praise the Lord, I speak this as one who's been divorced. I'm not saying divorced people are bad. Praise God. But what I am saying is that there's ways to avoid it. There's also ways to marry. You know, we talk about this. We have someone in our family who met somebody after they're in their late 30s, and they met somebody that just a few months ago, and they're going to get married. And some people were poo-pooing on it. They're saying, oh, you can't get married that quick. How many times have we heard things? You can't get married that quick, or you can't get married that young. Why? Why can't you? Why? Because the world says you can't? Well, in the world, over 60% of people end in divorce, marriages. So they obviously don't know what they're doing. So we can't go to the world standard. But see, we stick with God's standard. You can know right off the bat whether you're going to marry somebody that you can stay with for the rest of your life. How? If you stick to the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us all things, amen? We are co-laborers with Christ. What that means is that we have to work with Christ if we want Christ to work in us. We have to work with God if we want God to work in us. God does not work separate from us. That's why people, there's so many Christians, there's whole religions that let their people, as long as you come to church and as long as you submit yourself to this one person and you confess your sins to this one person, then you can go out and you can do whatever you want. But see, the Bible doesn't tell us that. The Bible tells us that those things cause death. See, the Bible says you can't go out and live any way you want because you weren't designed to go live any way you want. You weren't designed to put all those chemicals in your body. You weren't designed to go out there and sleep around and hop from bed to bed to bed to bed. If you're doing that, you're out of the will of God. Praise the Lord. God intended one man and one woman to get together and get married and then have sex. Praise the Lord. And then have children. Praise the Lord. That's how it's supposed to happen. But somehow we got out of that order. Why? Because people don't follow Scripture. And then people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter. They say, well, you know what the Bible says. It doesn't matter if we follow that. Well, then they have all the problems that they have. Praise the Lord. And I know, you know, we talk about some of these things in church, and sometimes people are like, wow, I mean, I can't believe they said that in church. But here's the thing. They're talking about it out there. If you have kids sitting in the service, I'm not going to get too graphic, but if you have kids sitting in the service, you have to understand, they're already hearing stuff out there if they go to school. They're already hearing stuff if they turn on the TV. Shoot, you can't even watch kids' shows anymore that aren't full of the homosexual agenda and all these other things that are horribly wrong with the world. And it's not that we hate people, and this is the whole problem. You see, you can't listen to left-wing nuts. You know what I'm saying? You can't listen to that side that wants anything goes. You know, I heard a guy, it was interesting, talking about that song. You remember that song by John Lennon that everybody loved, Imagine all the people. Like, all that song is about garbage. Imagine there's no heaven. That's how he starts the song off. And then he goes, takes it further. And then what I love is this guy that's all, you know, all about peace and everything, you know, because of how wonderful he was, praise the Lord, you know, and how good of a man he was and stuff, even though he did all these horrible things. But he was, you know, he sang about good things, so he was a good man. But he went out there, you know, he sings in that song further, he says, imagine no possessions. The man had more possessions than all of us combined. And yet he's singing about having no possession. You know, well, I'm just calling this stuff out because this is the truth. You know, this is the way people think. They let their souls or their minds be established in the things of the world, and they wonder why their thinking is wrong. They wonder why things don't work for them. Because when you line your thinking up with the Word, then you can spot this stuff right off the bat like that, and you won't be confused. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. I told you I'm off and running. I ain't even gotten to Scripture yet. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:28. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a scripture, and we brought it up here before, but this is a scripture so many people take out of context. So much. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for the good. Praise the Lord. I know that this is working. This is for me. This is going to work. All things work together for the good to those who love God. That means if you don't love God, things ain't working together for the good for you. You can say whatever you want, but things aren't. If you're living according to the ways of the world or the ways of the devil, I'm going to tell you right now that things aren't working good for you. They're not working out in your favor. Not everything is happening for a good reason, in other words. You can't sit there and listen to this garbage and truly think about it. It's so ridiculous to think that. And if you think about it, if you put any thought into it, it is really, truly ridiculous to think that way. But to those who are called according to His purpose... See, God has a purpose for all of us. Jeremiah 29:11. He has put His plan in our hearts. He has written the plan out for us. Now, we choose whether or not we're going to walk that plan out. The plan of God is chosen by those who choose the plan of God. Praise the Lord. I know that sounds pretty basic, but that's as basic as it is. People all the time reject the plan of God. People sitting in churches all the time reject the plan of God. People sitting in this church all the time reject the plan of God. People sitting in all the family church, any church, anywhere, all the time are rejecting. What am I saying? Not everybody is horrible. They're just rejecting the plan of God, but people do all the time. When you decide, when you hear the Word, and you know that it's supposed to change something in you, and yet you decide, well, I don't know, though. I don't really want to get into all that. You know what I mean? I don't really want to do that because that's weird to me. Even though the Bible says it, we don't preach stuff that's like randomly here and there. We preach stuff that is all throughout Scripture, amen? We show you, we present mounds and mounds of Scripture every week, praise the Lord. And the reason we do that is to show you what God intended. Because God is not working in mysterious ways. That's another thing that people, the Lord works in mysterious ways. No, He doesn't. God has told us how He works. He wrote a whole book on how He works. And then He gave us the Holy Spirit to remind us what His book says and how He works. God isn't working in mysterious ways. If God is mysterious to you, it's because you are mysterious. You don't know Him. You don't take the time to get in and find out. You don't pray in the Spirit. You don't learn the things that God wants you to learn. God isn't mysterious because He wants to be mysterious. That is religion talking. And we are not a religious church, amen? Well, praise the Lord. Stay there in Romans 8:28, but I want you to look at this up here. Colossians 3:23 and 24. And it says, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Praise the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to whatever you do. Is there anything that's not including whatever? Whatever you do. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to get up heartily as unto the Lord. When I get my Cheerios, praise the Lord, I'm going to do it heartily as unto the Lord. I may do it even more heartily if it's chocolate Cheerios. Praise the Lord. Whatever you do, if it's Cocoa Puffs, all glory. We're doing it real heartily then. We're going to do two bowls of hearty there. Praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? Do everything. It says whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. and not to men. In verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And why do I throw this in here? Because we have to know that all things work together for us. Everything that happens in our lives, if we are born again, if we are living in the plan of God, all things are working together for us. So it doesn't matter. See, this is what inspired the message was this thought. Life is too short to dread what you do. It's too short to dread it. It's too short to take a day and say, you know what? Man, I just hate doing this. I'm not going to do it. I don't want to do this. And you sit there and think about it. You know you got something coming up and that dread comes on you and you don't necessarily want to do that. Praise God. But see, do all things heartily as unto the Lord. Why? Because all things work together for the good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. That's who we are. We are born again, children of God. And if you're not, we're going to tell you how to get there. You can jump in and get in this flow too. But we are born again, children of God. And He has created us for good works. He has created us to be fruitful. He has created us to multiply. He has created us to be kings and priests. Hallelujah. He has created us to be overcomers, be victorious on this earth. This is how our God made us. Hallelujah. This is what God has made us to be. He didn't make us to be defeated. If you're defeated in 1 minute of your day, you are not in the plan of God because He did not create you to be defeated 1 ounce of the day. No, everything that comes at you, I don't care if you get out of your car, it's the middle of winter, the wind's blowing, it's 30 degrees below, and you got to pump gas, praise the Lord, and you got a big gas tank, hallelujah, you get out there and you do it heartily as unto the Lord. You say, today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad and if I got pump gas at minus 30 degree weather. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Although I'm going to preach so fast, my tongue's going to fall out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, you know what I'm saying? We got to change our thinking, people. We got to get excited about whatever we're doing today. I don't care if your biggest thing you're going to do today is change dirty diapers. Well, praise the Lord, you do it heartily as unto the Lord. Praise God. And the mamas all said amen. Why? Because you know what? You're going to receive a reward from God for doing it heartily as unto God. You know, people take parenthood and they throw it. They think it's like, no big deal. It's no big thing. No, we have to take this as a serious thing. We are raising these children and they are watching us doing everything that we are going to do. Yeah. If we serve God with our whole hearts, our children will. But if we don't, our children won't. If our children watch us be wishy-washy Christians, our children are probably going to grow up and not even be Christians. And that's the truth. It's a sad truth. Praise the Lord. We're going to do it heartily as unto the Lord. I'm not going to dread what I got to do anymore. I'm not going to dread if I got to do something that's not fun. Why? Because all things work together for the good for me. So what happens when something happens that's not good? Well, praise the Lord. You got to remind yourself of who you are. I'm a child of God. I'm a blood-bought child of God. But see, this is the way people don't respond. You're driving down the road, your wheel falls off. Go off to the side of the road, crash into a tree. Praise the Lord. That's bad, huh? Yeah. But guess what? You're a blood-bought child of God. Did that tree, did that wheel, did anything, did that change you? Did that change the fact that you're a blood-bought child of God? Heck no, it didn't. It just verified it. Praise the Lord. The devil's trying to throw something in your way to get you to forget about that. But see, what you got to do is you got to remind yourself, wait a minute. Somehow, I don't know how this is going to work out good for me, but it's going to. I don't know how it's going to, but it's going to. And see, that's the attitude we got to take. I don't know how. I don't need to know how. Because guess what? You're not God. I'm not God. I don't need to know. Everything I need to know, Holy Spirit will download. Amen. He'll give it to me. Praise the Lord. He'll email it to me. He'll send it via the airwaves. Praise the Lord. We'll pick it up on our Holy Spirit antennas. We'll get every direction we need. Praise the Lord. But we got to change our thinking to think the way that God has us to think. See, when you think this way, all things do work out for the good. See, you don't sit there questioning God. You don't sit there going, why, God, does this happen? Because you just know that all things work together for your good. That is, if you're, you know, serving God, if you're after God, if you're hungry for God. I mean, if none of these things apply, then none of this applies. So then you got to change that and get into that line. And it's not hard. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are agents of change. We have been created as agents of change. Well, last night, my wife preached a great message last night in Corey about the words we speak. And she took us right to the book of beginnings and showed us in Genesis how God created us with the creative power to change everything in our mouths, just as he is. So he created us as agents of change. Jesus then told us, he said, when you see something that you don't like or something that doesn't jive with you, I'm giving you the Pastor Jeff translation, praise the Lord, when you see something that don't jive with you, or you see something that's too big for you, what do? You look at it and cry. No. You look at it and shake. You start wringing your hands. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Husband, wife, I don't know what I'm going to do. Friend, I don't know what I'm going to do. Pastor, what are we going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to follow the Holy Ghost and you're going to watch it work out for you. Why? Because, see, as you start declaring the word, the Bible says that the word never returns to him void. Never. That means it doesn't return to him without its intended purpose. So when you claim the word, all things work together for the good because I love God, because I'm called according to his purpose, guess what starts happening? It starts change. And you say, well, how does that work? I don't know how it works. I don't care. God made it that way. He said it. And that's all that matters. And you say, well, how do I know this? By doing it. Or watching other people who are doing it. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are overcomers. We are overcomers overall, but also in the day-to-day life. We overcome this life. We will win at the end. When the trumpet sounds, glory to God, and we're called, and we go home, when we go home to God, in heaven, praise the Lord, on that day, if we make it to the rapture, if it's not the rapture, and we expire here on earth, because your body will expire here on earth, if that's what happens to you, and you go home to heaven, praise the Lord, you overcome then. And a lot of us think about that. We think, well, in the sweet by and by, we overcome, but we overcome in the little things. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you got a toothache, you overcome in that. Amen. Why? Because if you're called according to his purpose, and you overcome, you're an overcomer. He's made you that way. Amen? We're going to see that. Hallelujah. We are well equipped and we are well able, but we utilize that equipment as we engage our faith. The will and work of God is not automatic. It is never automatic. How do we know this? Because the Bible tells us things like he desires that all men should come to repentance, but we know that all men won't. Well, that's his desire. His desire is obviously his will, and if his will is his will and it doesn't automatically happen, well, praise the Lord. You can't say it for one thing and not the other. See, but see, here's the other thing. You can stay in your religious stinking thinking, and you can sit there and say, well, this is... But you know something? It doesn't make it the truth. So you can sit there and whine and get mad at me all you want, but it's not the truth. It doesn't make it the truth. You either believe the word or you don't. But if you don't listen to the word, then you're not going to get changed. If you don't do the word, you're not going to get changed. That's why you can have two people sitting in church. One person can do the word and take off. Same church, same message, everything. One person can sit there, get changed. Your life changed. Life is filled. Glory to God. And the person sitting next to him sometimes this happens with husbands and wives. This is actually one of the biggest problems in the church today. Why? Because husbands are supposed to be the spiritual head of the household. But where are the husbands? They're a bunch of doofuses. Half the time they're not at church. Praise the Lord. When they are at church, they're not connected. They're not leading their family according to the word. And then wonder why the wives are off, you know, the wives are trying to make up for him, but they can't. This is why the gender roles are really important, because the gender roles do matter to God. He designed them to work a certain way. It's like if you have a car that runs on gasoline, you can't put diesel in it and expect it to work. You can't pour water in it and expect it to work. You have to put gasoline in it. That's the way that it works, amen? And it's the same way it works with humans, hallelujah. We're continuing. I told you not to turn from Romans 8:28. But we're going to go forward. So, and we know all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Look at this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to what? To be conformed to the image of his son. That word conformed is very, very important. Jesus came to teach us how to live. How could you be conformed into his image if you didn't know what the image was? Well, you got to change. You got to do whatever you got to do to make yourself more Christ-like. He came to show us how to live. Jesus came to show us how to live. He told us, the works I do, you will do greater. Why is the church doing greater works? Because they don't even know what the image of God is. They still think God is the one killing, stealing, and destroying. They still think God's the one that's removing from them. God decided it was time for Grandma Mabel to come home, so that's what he did. He killed Grandma Mabel. But that's not scripture. God didn't kill nobody. The Bible says that death is an enemy. Praise the Lord. God intended us to live forever. The flesh will die on earth. Why? Because it's sinful. God is gracious that he allows flesh to die. Otherwise, we would spend eternity living in sinful flesh. I don't know about you, but I don't like that. I don't want to spend eternity living. I look forward to the day when I'm set free. Just don't want it to happen today. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got work to do. Amen. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. His plan from the beginning of time was that you would be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, you know, the Bible tells us that Jesus wasn't real great looking. You know what I mean? It literally tells us that. I can't remember if it's in Psalms anywhere, somewhere. But it tells us that Jesus wasn't anything to behold. He wasn't really great looking as a human. And I believe that that was purposeful. So that doesn't mean that God wants to make you ugly. When it says he wants you to conform to his image, he wants you to look and act like he did. When Jesus went around doing things, he was showing us what he wanted us to do. And yet people think when you lay hands on people in church, it's weird. Jesus did it, but they thought it was weird too. The religious people of that day thought it was weird too. I'm going to tell you right now, I hope there's some religious devils in here today, because we're about to stomp right all over your toes. Oh, glory. Here we go. Hallelujah. I love this. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if you think laying on hands is weird, Jesus did it. Hallelujah. Religious devil. You got a religious devil, and if you keep sitting there, if you think, praise the Lord, we're going to have baptism in a week. I love this. We're going to have baptism in a week, right? Yeah, 90% of the church has no idea what baptism is even for. They have no idea what it's even for. There's half the church that allows you to be sprinkled. That's not baptism. Baptism is symbolic of dying and then being buried and then being raised again. How does sprinkling show you that symbolically? It doesn't. Another thing that people do is they baptize babies. You can't baptize babies. Well, you can, but all you're doing really is getting them wet. You're not baptizing them. You can't baptize a baby. Why? The Bible, you never see a baby baptized in Scripture. Why? Because babies can't be baptized. Why? Because babies can't accept Jesus. Baptism is an outward sign of your desire to live for Christ. That is what baptism is, period. If you have not been able to make that decision, then you cannot be baptized. Does that mean that young kids can't be baptized? Of course they can. If they have the ability to understand what salvation is, sure, they can be baptized, but it takes that. Well, you can't baptize a baby. It doesn't do any good. We dedicate babies. That's wholly different. Amen. And that's also scriptural, but it's good. Hallelujah. Free, no charge. Praise God. Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay, this is symbolic, and this is what we have to understand. The firstborn. Jesus was to be the firstborn among many brethren. What do brothers and sisters? I have brothers, and we resemble each other somewhat. You know what I mean? Oftentimes in families, you resemble each other. There should be something. You have the same blood type, or not blood type, but the same, you know, genetic stuff like that. You know what I mean? I don't know all that. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. They're similar. They can tell that you were related by getting in there and monkeying with things. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you know what I'm saying? This is exactly what this is saying, that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. He was going to be the first, but it didn't mean he was the last. He was going to be the example of what we were to be, how we were to live. Jesus didn't walk around sad. Jesus didn't walk around defeated by anything. Lunch didn't happen for Jesus. And what did he do? Oh, he rocked the world. He cursed a tree and it died. He's like, can you imagine if Christians were using this? You drive through McDonald's and you're like, wait a minute, I didn't ask for a double cheeseburger. I wanted a quarter pounder. Curse you, never feed anyone again. And the place withers up and dies. I mean, that's what happened though. Jesus was walking by the McDonald's of his day, which was a fig tree. It's scriptural, praise the Lord. Probably in there somewhere. He was walking by the McDonald's of his day, which was a fig tree. He went up to the fig tree because his open sign was on. The leaves said open. Here you go, come in, get your figs, praise the Lord. He went up and he's like, hey, no figs here. I ain't having this. I didn't even sit there and think about it. He didn't sit there and like, hey, Peter, what are we going to do, man? There's no figs on this tree. James, John, all these other guys too. Praise the Lord. What are we going to do here? This fig tree ain't producing nothing. What are we? I am so hungry. I'm probably going to die now. What are we going to do? See, this is exactly what happens. The scenarios start coming. But Jesus didn't do that. He looked at it and said, nobody eat anything from you ever again. The next day or a few days later, whatever it was, they walked by the tree again. They're like, Master, that tree, it's dried up from the roots. And Jesus said, if you believe what you say, and then you say it, you're going to have what you say. Why did he tell us that? Because when we need something, we would speak to it. But what do Christians do? Most times when Christians speak, they speak bad. They speak death. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It never works out. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's because you're not reading the word. You're not getting the, you're not listening to your pastor. Pastor Jeff's up there preaching real good, and you're out there sleeping. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may say, well, I was awake. Oh, you were sleeping because you didn't hear a word I said. I said that you speak to the tree. Praise the Lord. Or you speak to the mountain, and the mountain moves. Why? Because Jesus said so, not me. See, I'm just repeating what you, I'm just telling you what Jesus said. You don't have to do it because, Pastor, you don't have to like, you don't even have to like my tone. All you got to do is like the word I preach, because the word I preach is what Jesus said. It's what God left us with, amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, we're just working through the day here, aren't we? Hallelujah. Glory. He was the firstborn, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Look at this, verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What's being glorified? Glorified is good. Amen? Glorified is setting you up on that pedestal and saying, there you go. When we glorify God, well, we praise you, Lord. We magnify. We worship the Lord. Glorify. He has meant us to be glorified. Praise the Lord by doing his. Why? Because when people look at us and see us glorified, they wonder what we got. Because, see, there's people out there in the world that are lost and dying. There's people out there in the world that don't know what to do. And they're looking to somebody, and they keep looking to the church, and the church keeps showing them a bunch of losers. Yeah, the church keeps showing the world a bunch of broken, defeated, worthless people. Yeah, that's exactly what the church. I'm not saying that people are all worthless. You know, don't twist what I say. See, what we have to understand is what we are showing, what we're portraying to the world. The world, we just got word, somebody we tried to witness to over the years. And another wonderful Christian, praise the Lord, has been witnessing to him too. And this other Christian is so stinking unstable because they won't just do the word. They're so stinking unstable that all they do is they show, well, God showed me this. And then the next day they're doing something stupid. They're doing drugs, or they're out drinking, or something like that. Listen, if that's the life you're living, then you're portraying that to the world. And everybody you've been witnessing to, that's exactly what you're showing them. Glory. If you go out there and you show them how defeated you are, or how broke you are, that's exactly what you're doing. You are showing the world exactly what Jesus isn't. And then you wonder why you get saved. Witness to somebody, hey, come to church, but you don't come. Praise the Lord. What did you just do? You showed them it wasn't important. Well, why do I need to go? You won't go. Why do I need to be there? You don't. Why do I need to put God on a pedestal? You don't. You can't put God on a pedestal and then forget about him most of the time. You can't do that. You can't cast God to the background, not think about him all. You can come to church every single Sunday and not think of God the rest of the week. You still are putting him lower than everything else. People put jobs above God. They'll put sports above God. They'll put everything in the world above God. They'll put freaking cookouts above God. I said that word, hallelujah. They will put everything above God. It makes me mad. It stirs me up because, you see, you know, the Lord will deliver things to me and I don't even, like, receive it. It's like the Lord wants to deliver the message to you and you weren't even there to receive it. Glory to God. Glory, hallelujah. He was delivering your help for you. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Hallelujah. People want God to be working in their lives, and yet they're not working God in their lives. And see, this is what this message is all about, is working God in our lives. It's like working the Bible. Do you know what I mean? Like if you don't, you can have an oven, a stove. You take anything. You can have a chainsaw. Praise the Lord. I like chainsaws. I like them. But if it just sits there and I don't use it, I ain't cutting a tree down any faster. Right, right. I ain't cutting logs up any quicker if I'm not using it. If I don't utilize it, and I can't sit there and whine and cry because the trees are getting all overgrown, or because I have no wood to burn for this winter to keep me warm, or whatever the reason is. You can't get mad about it when you don't use it. You can get in your car all day long and beg and plead and cry to God, but until you put the key in the ignition and turn it, it's not going to go anywhere. It won't. You can say, Lord Jesus, you lay your hands, you go out and see, and this is why Christians look like idiots, because they go out there and they do stuff like this. They'll lay hands on it. Look, this is mine in Jesus' name. I claim this in Jesus' name. And they'll tell everybody, I'm claiming it in Jesus' name. And then they go out the rest of the week and they live like a devil and they wonder why it never comes. Well, it didn't work for me. It didn't work for you because you were living your life completely opposite of the word. Why do we talk about sin? Sin ain't popular to talk about. People, like, there's a lot of people come in, they hear us talk about sin, and they go out. And don't come back. Why? We talk about sin because sin hinders you from getting the blessing of God. It isn't because it ain't fun. Listen, I enjoy living for God so much more than I lived in the world. I woke up sick every morning. I woke up lost every morning. I woke up depressed every morning. I woke up broken, defeated every single morning. Glory to God. I don't wake up that way no more. Why? Because I serve a living God. Amen. I'm living for a living God. It doesn't mean I'm perfect, and you don't got to be perfect either, but it just means you got to start steering yourself in that direction. You know what I mean? Change course, correct. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 2. It says this. Just look at it up here. Praise the Lord. You know you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. See, the Bible even says dumb, so I can say it too. Praise the Lord. You were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. If we get discouraged in life, it's because our focus is all wrong. If we get discouraged by anything, it's because our focus is wrong. Now listen, before you start throwing things at me, you understand this. I know what it's like to be discouraged. I've been discouraged. There's been time where discouragement, even in the last few weeks, has come on me. Strong discouragement to make me want to quit. But that's just because my focus is wrong. What do we do if our focus is wrong? Well, then we condemn ourselves and say, I'm a horrible Christian because my focus. No, the devil will try to do that. What do you do if you realize that your focus is wrong? You change your focus. You just put it back on Him. You just look back to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You just turn your eyes back to the Lord. You say, well, I've been looking over here. I've been doing this wrong. Maybe you've been doing it wrong. Maybe you started doing it right, and then you started doing it wrong. You've been doing it wrong for even a few months. You just change your focus. That's all there is to it. You ain't got to get weird. You ain't got to get goofy. All you got to do is change your focus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Whatever our focus on, and this is important, in this, you know, this scripture here, I want you to think about what I'm saying as it pertains to this. Whatever our focus is on becomes who or what we serve, thus making them our God. If your focus is solely on your job just became your God. If your focus is on money, your God just became money. Yeah, I don't care if you're poor or if you're rich. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're a multimillionaire and you're just trying to make more. And your focus is all on your money. Money's your God. Maybe you don't have two dimes to rub together and all you're doing is sitting there wondering about how you're getting money. Your God's your money. You say, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. Yeah, poor people can just be, actually, poor people are oftentimes more money-minded than the rich people are. Oftentimes, I didn't say all the time, but oftentimes. Praise the Lord. Why? Because, see, if you realize who you were in Christ, you'd know that God wants to supply all that to you. But see, you can't do that if you refuse to tithe. You can't do that if you refuse to be generous, if you refuse to give, if you won't bless anybody else. You can't expect God to bless you. You know, there's people that are, what's the saying, that they're holding up $1,000 with a dollar or something like that. You know, I don't know I kept hearing that this week. Praise the Lord. We're not going to hold up $1,000 with $1. You know, we're not going to focus on the little. Hold up the rest. But that's what a lot of people are doing. They're focusing on the little. They're like, well, God says He promised you're going to bless you, right? So who are you going to believe? You can either believe God or you cannot believe God, but that's where the rubber meets the road. And folks, that's where faith comes in. That's what faith is all about. What am I going to believe? Am I going to believe the word, or am I going to believe what I've always believed? Am I going to do the word, or am I going to do what I've always done? Amen? You have to understand it's important. We have to realize that it's important what we believe. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. What are dumb idols? It means idols that don't talk. Idols that they have no life. Praise the Lord. God wants us to serve a living God. He wants us to serve Him. He's a living God. He's the only God, by the way. But people have these lowercase g's. He's the big case G. Hallelujah. However you're led. It doesn't matter how you are led. Maybe it's not money with you. Maybe it's bad relationships. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that for two people to be together, that they're supposed to be husband and wife. Husband and wife. Not husband and husband. Not wife and wife. Not boyfriend, girlfriend. Praise the Lord. God intended us to be husband and wife. Why? Because when you say that you will marry somebody, that means that you are making a commitment to them, and that's what God wants. He wants commitment. God isn't about this loose commitment that the world thinks is okay, which really, this is like these people that are forever engaged. Hallelujah. You ever met these people? Well, we're engaged. We're going to get married. I don't know. You're not engaged. The word engaged means to engage. It means to start something. It means to, like gears, when they get together and they're moving, they're engaged. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You're moving towards something. Yeah. If you're two gears out here, you're not engaged. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, and the same thing, where else did I want to go with it? Oh, yeah, marriage. Marriage. I love this. Marriage means to, if you look up the definition of marriage in the dictionary, it's welded. That's one of the words it uses, is welded. I love that. Because what's welded mean? It means two things are put together with the intent of becoming one, and they're not going to be separate. And yet husbands and wives live separate lives all the time. Husbands and wives have separate bank accounts. Husbands and wives have no idea what the other person's doing. Husbands and wives have separate friends. They have separate this, separate that, separate this, separate that. You're not one. You're not married. You may be legally married, but you're not married naturally or spiritually. You're not married together if you're living two separate lives. My wife and I have access to everything that each other has. Why? Because we're one. I don't hold any secrets against my wife. Why? Because we're one. Yeah. She doesn't hold any secrets against me. Why? Because we're one. Yeah. Praise the Lord. That's what marriage, true marriage is. Amen? We don't live separate lives. We know when it hurts me, it hurts her. That's why she doesn't do things that hurt me. Praise the Lord. And when it hurts her, it hurts me. That's why I try not to do things that hurt her. Sometimes I fail at that, but she forgives me. Praise the Lord, and we move on. But see, forgiveness is also part of it. You can't be, the Bible says that if you can't forgive, then you can't be forgiven. Right. So that's why you got to forgive, not because of them, not because of whatever they did, so you can be forgiven. We don't want to be not forgiven. Oh, dear Jesus, hallelujah. Don't be caught. Don't be standing before Jesus and say, I wouldn't forgive them. I know what your word said, but I don't forgive them. He can't forgive you. If you can't be forgiven of your sins, you can't go to heaven. Well, praise the Lord. Whatever our focus on, it becomes who or what we serve, and that's making it our God. So whatever these dumb idols are, whatever these things are, this is what our God is. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Romans 7:4. Praise the Lord. You see, I know some of this stuff is hard-hitting, but praise God for it, because the result of this, getting in line with this, is setting us free. To live every day. I mean, think about this. God wants us to live every day blessed. Every day. God doesn't want 1 second of your day not being happy. This is God's will for you. You talk about God's will. Why doesn't this happen? Because we don't work His will. We don't work the things God does. God doesn't want you being sad one day. God ain't trying to hurt you. He ain't trying to destroy you. He doesn't want you being sick one day. Praise the Lord. Not one day. Not one day. If you receive something, this is why I always love this about people. You see it on commercials, too. I just saw it on a commercial out in Tulsa. But you see it on commercials all the time. They get a sickness, and they call it theirs. My gout. My back pain. My cancer. My whatever. They start calling it. You know what you're doing? You're labeling it as yours. You're claiming that. You're saying that's yours. That's I'm willing to have that. That's what you're telling God. And then you wonder why you're not getting healed. Because you're claiming that as yours. If you claim that you will always be sick, if it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I can't pray over you enough, and I won't. If I hear people talk, I'll try to correct it, but if I can't, people don't realize there's so many things that people ask to pray for that we can't rightfully pray for. That sounds, I know that sounds weird, but listen, I've had people call me up, and I always ask questions. I had an example of this not too long ago. Somebody wanted prayer for healing. They didn't get it. And I knew they weren't going to get healed. Why? Because they were living opposite to what the word said. They set things in motion so long that God couldn't change it. You say, wait a minute, God couldn't change it? Jesus, there was examples in the Bible where Jesus couldn't do any mighty work because they wouldn't receive. They wouldn't receive him. If people won't receive him, listen, If you've been off all your life and you come in, yeah, we can believe God for healing. Again, I'll go to my sister Cindy. She's a great example of this. Praise the Lord. Not that she was off living bad all her life or anything. Like, she was, everything that I've heard, she's been a pretty decent person throughout her life, but she wasn't taught the truth. I said she wasn't taught the truth. She went to church all her life. Well, she came here with cancer in her body. Praise the Lord. We don't like that. We're not going to accept that, are we, sister? Praise the Lord. So what don't you have anymore? That's right. Because it ain't yours, right? No, that's right. Every time I asked her how she's doing, going through this, we healed. I'm healed. She spoke right. She claimed the word. She stayed in the word. She listened to scripture. I'm not saying that she never had moments. Of course she probably had moments. But that doesn't matter if you have moments. What matters is how you overcome. See, that's exactly, we got to change our focus, right? That could be the worst diagnosis that anybody can think of having. I can't think of a worse diagnosis in the lives of people than to hear the big C word. But whether or not you accept it is whether or not you're going to keep it. Praise the Lord. But if you set things in motion because you refuse, you've heard the word and heard the word and heard the word, and you refuse and you refuse and you refuse, praise the Lord, that sooner or later something's going to happen and you're not going to be able to get fixed. I've had this happen. I tell you, I've had people come to me and they want me to pray for them. And I know, a lot of times I do. There's people that will come to you last minute hoping to get help. And it's like, wait a minute, you're looking for God at the very end, the very last moment. He'll save you. He'll take you to heaven, but he might not be able to fix what you did here. Praise the Lord. I mean, people don't get that, but that's why. And then people are like, but then everybody blames God. Well, they went to church all their life. Why did they die of that? Because they weren't taught the truth. If they weren't taught the truth, then they can't get the truth to work in them. The truth sets us free. Not my magical powers, not my stunning good looks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Certainly ain't my height, glory. These things aren't going to set us free. What sets us free is the truth. That's why people say to me, like, that was an awesome message. That helped me. It was the word. I didn't do anything. I just did what I downloaded. Praise the Lord. I'm a puppet for God. Glory to God. That's what I want to be. I want to be a puppet for God. I want him to send me things and me to put them out. Praise the Lord. And that's where I get glorified. Seriously. That's where, because people think you're awesome. I've seen this not just, people all the time, people who are doing right, they're helping people and stuff like that. People always go up to, you're doing great, no, it's God. Praise the Lord, it's God. That God will make you look good. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord, even when you're ugly like Mark. Romans 7:4-6, don't feel bad for him. Don't you feel bad for him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ask his brother and sister, and I'll say, don't you feel bad for him. He needs that once in a while. Keep him straight. Praise the Lord. He's a good-looking boy. I love him. All my children. Praise the Lord. Especially Ezra. 7:4-6. 7:4-6. Romans 7:4-6. Praise the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, you have also become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. There's that word married to another. To him, that's a capital H, that means Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. See, God has joined us. He has created a way for us to be. The law was to show us that we were that we couldn't be right. That we couldn't get close to God. That was what the law did. It showed us why we couldn't get close to God. That was the purpose of the law. It wasn't to tell you that you were a worthless person, but it was to show you this is why you can't get close to God. Not because God's rejecting you, but because by going outside of the law, you take yourself out of the picture. You pull yourself away from God. So what did God do? He sent his son in the form of human flesh to come live a perfect life, to show us how to live, and then die for us so that we could get close to God. And that's what we're seeing right here, is that through his body, through Christ's body, we are married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Praise God. See, as we get connected to God, we're supposed to become fruit bearers for God. Amen? For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. I don't know if you caught that. We're gonna slow down just a little bit here. For when we were in the flesh, when are you in the flesh? You're in the flesh right now. But what does this mean? It means when you are focused on what the flesh is telling you. This is why so many people go so far astray, because they only know to listen to the flesh. I'm hungry, I eat. I want this, I eat. I want this, I take it. I want him, I want her, I take it. I want that that somebody else has, I take it. It's all done in the flesh. That's exactly, we have laws. You know, people talk about the law of God as though it's something bad. We all like laws. Don't you like that it's illegal that people can't walk in your house and take whatever they want? That's a law, right? The law of God was the same thing. It was to protect people. That's what the law of God was for, is to show you where you're off and to protect you and to bring you back to God. That's what the purpose of it wasn't to tell you that, oh, you can't enjoy it. Listen, I would love my neighbor's swimming pool maybe, but that doesn't mean I can just go get in it anytime I want to. Just because I don't have a swimming pool doesn't mean I have rights to theirs. I don't know if we have neighbors that have swimming pools, but you understand what I'm saying. Whatever it is, I may love my neighbor's couch, but I can't just go lay on it anytime I want. Why? Because there's laws, right? See, laws protect those people, protect people, amen? But see, if you understand the way God works, it doesn't matter if you don't have something, you can believe God for it and it'll come to pass. I said, you believe. This year, God has shown me so many things in my own life. We have given, we've had it in our hearts to give as much as we possibly can. And not just into this ministry, into other ministries, into people. We just giving, giving, giving. That's what we're trying to do, right? And in that time period, and there's been several time periods where, or several times where maybe I've been gifted something like some money or something like that. And my first thought is, ooh, what can I go get with this? But then my second thought, of course, is, well, it should be my first, but, you know, I'm human. Is where, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Yeah. And almost every time I've sowed it. I think every time I've sowed it. Praise the Lord. But you know something? Everything that I've even just quietly desired this year, it's just come to pass. Like little things. Praise the Lord. I'm wearing some of it today. Glory to God. It just comes to pass. And I'm not buying it. I'm not out there spending money. I'm not out there, you understand what I mean? Like necessary or spending even close to what it would cost. Hallelujah. You know, see, that's the way God works, is God will bless you. He will work things in your favor because you're working for him, because you're doing things for him. That's how the blessing and favor of God works. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Sin causes death. Sin, the flesh, causes death. Following the flesh, whatever it wants, that causes death. Praise the Lord. That's what causes death. That's what the Bible says. It tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is death. James tells us that sin, when it's conceived in us, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Hallelujah. There's three witnesses. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Verse 6. But now, everybody say, but now, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve, look at this, in the newness of spirit and not the oldness of the letter. God wants us to serve in the newness of the spirit. He wants us to serve in newness of life. We are to wake up every day saying, I can do this today. Whatever it is, I don't have to dread today. Why? Because today is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. Why do you think the Bible says, today is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it? It isn't just because it sounds fun to say. Praise the Lord. It isn't because it rolls off your tongue nice. It says to say it because if you say it, if you're speaking it, that's how you start walking into it. That's how you start living in the blessing of God. That's how you start changing your thinking. Amen. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I want you to see this, because this is so good. Ephesians, like, it's awesome. Praise the Lord. It lays out for us who we are in Christ. This is who you are. Like, you don't identify with Job, identify with Ephesians. Why? Because that's written to the church, and you, my friends, are the church. Ephesians 2:1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Doesn't say you were dead in God. I'm going to keep bringing that up, because I just sense that there's somebody who's going to still stick with that. Amen? But as many times as the Bible talks about death, it never connects it to God. Amen? In which you once walked, according to the course of this world. Okay, this is very, 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 very supercalifragilisticexpialidocious important. Amen? Praise the Lord. In which you once walked. So if you are still walking according to the course of the world, then all that's coming after this don't apply. If what makes your decisions, I talk about marriages all the time. Because marriage is I love marriage. Marriage is the greatest single blessing in my life. Amen? My wife is a huge, amazing blessing to me. Marriage is a wonderful, wonderful joy. And anybody who even jokes about it not being too, shame on you. Shame on you for even joking about marriage in a negative light. Marriage is a wonderful, wonderful thing that God's given us. Praise the Lord. Where was I going with this? Once walked. I don't know. Marriage is wonderful. Praise the Lord. It's good. Hallelujah. Lord, bring it back if you want me to talk about it. But in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. Oh, yes, I know what it was. Thank you, Father. See, that's how good he is. See, boom, back there. I lost again. No, I'm just kidding. So marriage, people who get married, they're so often do it the way the world. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how to get married. It doesn't say to go through this ceremony and do this and light this candle and tie this knot and bop somebody in the head with this or something like that. You know, all it says, it doesn't say to cut cake and shove it in someone's face. You know, all that stuff that we put on it. But people will forego marriage because they can't do all that frilly stuff. Yeah, they will forego the blessing of marriage because they have no idea. And this is why. Because they have no idea what marriage is all about. It's more important to them to have this big event and to have this big party, which most of the time they can't even afford and shouldn't do because they could have better put it into something that would actually, the money into something. Now listen, if your daddy's independently wealthy and he wants to give you a huge wedding, you know, praise the Lord. I know somebody told me once, they said, because their dad was pretty well off or whatever, said you know, he offered us X amount of dollars, it was thousands of dollars to elope. I'm saying, I'm on that train. Glory to God. Give me the money. I'm going on a honeymoon and we'll come back. We'll buy a house or something, but praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But see, people put all the focus on the party and then they wonder why afterwards that they have such a bad marriage. Yeah. Because they put all the focus on the party. They don't even think about what the marriage means. Yeah, people do this all the time. This is the way, and then we, for some reason, we have this idea in the church that we have to do it that same way. No, you don't. No, you don't. Praise the Lord. I've said at least a couple times this way, I said I could marry you right now. Marry you right now. We're sitting around a campfire. I said, we can marry you right now. You got the paper? We can marry you right now. That's all. It doesn't have to take anything fancy. Get in the will of God and then see the actual goodness. You'll have parties every day. Hallelujah. We party all the time, don't we? We party like rock stars. Not quite like heavenly rock stars. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're drinking Holy Ghost wine. Hallelujah. We get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And people say that's weird too, but Jesus left us with it. So, you know, you can say it's weird, but I'm drinking up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to get filled and he's going to come. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that's exactly how that happened. That service that woman got filled that she was talking about from Corey. I went there with preconceived notions. I had a message all ready to preach and I got up to preach and he told me to preach something different. Praise the Lord. And I didn't even know what I was going to preach. So I opened the Bible and started preaching. We preached on the Holy Ghost. She ended up getting filled. Praise the Lord. And healed all in one shot. Praise the Lord. See, that's important to you. You say all you want. But see, that's why some churches don't have fruit, because they don't even know what the Holy Ghost is. Well, praise the Lord. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Sometimes Christians are the sons of disobedience. Verse 3, hallelujah. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. This is why this perverted grace message out there today just doesn't work. If you have a church that teaches people, you can do whatever you want to do. Praise the Lord. That's why they're going to have death in their life. That's why they're going to experience death. The perverted grace message, they say, oh, you can just do, you can love God and you can still go out and do this and do that. No, you don't. The Bible, what does the Bible say? I don't care what some dummy preacher says. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible tell you? You can't just live any way you want. Why? Because it'll cause death. Listen, if all you eat is Twinkies, you're going to get fat from eating Twinkies. Yeah. And you probably aren't going to be healthy. That's the way it is. Cause and reaction, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive, hallelujah, together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When did he do that? When did he do that? At salvation. Jesus did it. He paid for it. He already made us sit in heavenly places. You're sitting there saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do this. And you're sitting in heavenly places with God. You have the ability of God on the inside of you, ready to tap into at any point, and all you got to do is hook up to it. But it's up to you if you will or not. See, because if you're not, you can be a son of disobedience. And that's why people go without. If you're a son with disobedience, see, that's why I say, I actually have cured, I think in this church at least, a lot of people coming to me asking me to pray for dumb things. I mean, maybe they will, but I mean, most people don't ask me to pray for dumb things because they know better. You know, it's like they know. If I've been living wrong, I can't pray for you to fix it. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Not that I don't love you and that I don't want you helped. Of course I do. And I will talk with anybody. I'll counsel anybody to help them. But they won't listen. Well, there's a door. Amen? Hallelujah. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship. Look at this. This is all created with that. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for something. And that's good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Notice this. The word says create. We are created in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say recreated. It doesn't say recreated. It says you're created. You're made new. Made new. That's like something you weren't before. So I don't care what life you lived before. It doesn't matter. I don't care what life you lived yesterday. It don't matter. You're created new. You're created new. Today's a new day. I'm created new. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because I've been created new. Amen? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 real quick. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. All things have become new. New means unopened. If you go to Amazon and you order something and it says you can order it new, you can use used in good condition. No, I want the new one. Why? Because it's been nobody else has touched it. I want the new. I don't want the refurbished one. I want the new one. Amen. You can get refurbished one. If you're at refurbished, well, praise the Lord. Then you be at refurbished. I don't want to be at refurbished. I want to be at new. Why? Because new, I'm more guaranteed, right? Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm working towards new cars. I don't want used cars. Why? Because new ones are better. We got great mechanics in here, by the way. Praise the Lord. But I like new cars. Why? Because I don't have to think about it. And if I have to think about it, well, you know, I mean, sometimes you do, but you know what I'm saying. New. We are new. We have been created new. Behold, all things have become new. Today is new for you. Today is new for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, just as I thought, I was not going to get through all the scripture that I had. So we'll just go down to the end because we're fixing the close here. Praise the Lord. Lamentations 3:22. Praise God. We're going to end here. 3:22 to 25. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Brother and sister, if you are stuck in the idea that God wants bad things for you, is doing bad things to you, read this scripture. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Amen. You just ask yourself, will compassion do this? Nope, then God wouldn't either. They are new every morning. His mercies, his compassions are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good. He's good. He's not bad. He's not some twisted idea of what you think bad is or what good is or good is to God. No, good to you is, God's good is even better than your good. Amen? Praise the Lord. God, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Soul is the mind. Amen. So if your mind seeks after the Lord, he's good to you. He'll be good to you. And he'll increasingly be good to you. Remember, all things work together because you love God. If you don't love God, well, just start loving God. You say, how do I do that? Just start saying, Lord, I want to love you more because I want to make sure I'm in this flow. Get in there. Start in God and find out what He has for you. You don't have to be defeated anymore. You don't have to have a bad day anymore. You don't have to be living in that garbage anymore. You can get yourself out of anything. You just stir yourself up in the things of God. You say, Lord, I thank You because You're good. You start putting your focus on Him. You start watching Him. Praise the Lord. You start looking at what He does. Put your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and watch your life start to change. You start doing the Word. Watch your life start to change. You stop doing what you were doing in the flesh that caused you the pain in the first place. And watch what Jesus does in you. Amen. He'll do it. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Don't let anyone tell you not. And if anybody's telling you that He's not, then you come to me and we'll remind you that He is. Amen.